I would invite you once again to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Congregation, hear the word of the Lord. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. And the Lord will add His blessing to the reading of His own holy and infallible word. If you'd like to turn with me once again to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 at verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Congregation, when we left each other this morning, we were speaking about the child of God walking in the light. We might remember that there were certain heretics who had infiltrated the early church, saying that they had this fellowship with the Father, that they were the ones who really knew how to commune with God. But it was by way of special knowledge. It was by way of special experience. And it had nothing whatsoever to do with the Lord Jesus Christ as the Son of God coming in the flesh, dying for sinners. They were trying to draw people to their own way, to their own experience, which John in the end says is nothing but a lie. Because the early church was inexperienced and doctrinally naive, these heretics were able to persuade many, or were at least on the very verge of drawing many away, by claiming that they're the ones that had truly attained a vital communion with God the Father. It didn't matter much what you called God. It wasn't just the early church that they infiltrated, but every religion that they could get their hands on. Every religion of that time that claimed to have some type of experience with God. They would go into those places of worship and really just preach and teach the exact same thing. Teaching that all roads lead to the same God, what they called the demiurge. That's what they called God. They said, well, you call Him Father, you call Him Jehovah, that's fine. We call Him the demiurge. And the demiurge is the God who is over all. And we can have this relationship. You talk about having communion with the Father. okay, then we'll take that and say, we'll show you how to have communion with the Father. And of course, all of this was not by way of the Word of God. It certainly wasn't through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ coming in the flesh, but it was through some form of direct spiritual mystical enlightenment. We were warned also in this that we were not to say more about our experience, to speak more of grace than we have actually had. That to say we've experienced more than we really have experienced is nothing more than spiritual forgery. He hints at the serious difference between empty words and a gracious reality. To have fellowship with God is the greatest of all subjects. And so to say that we have fellowship with Him and not have fellowship with Him is the most serious kind of error. And so John warns us that if we say we have something and our character doesn't support what we say we have, that in fact we lie. No qualifications, no excuses. Just the facts. We lie. Between saying we have and actually having are two different things. We spoke of how the believer walks in the light, what that looks like. We spoke something of the marks of one who walks in the light. We then spoke of what that light was, in which the Lord's people walked. And so this afternoon I would like to conclude this verse by pointing out only two things. Our theme will be the benefits and fellowship of the light. And we will have these thoughts. First, the fellowship of the light. And secondly, the benefits enjoyed in that light. So first then, this afternoon, the fellowship of the light. You'll notice in verse 7 it says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin." That phrase, "we have fellowship one with another," is very interesting. It's telling us that those who are in the light are not alone. Sometimes it feels like they are alone. And so it's a strange combination of things. When someone enters into that spiritual condition, when someone is brought to saving faith in Christ, it almost shrinks their world. And in a sense, they feel so alone, that they're in a sea of people, and yet there are very few people who they can speak to about spiritual things, about things that really, truly matter. Not just doctrinal, not just biblical, but speaking of that warm fellowship with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they feel alone. And yet John is saying here that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That there is a kind of fellowship in this. Let me illustrate this. I noticed in your bulletin that in the next few weeks you'll begin a preparation for the Lord's Supper. And same in Pompton Plains. And I think our congregations in many ways are very similar. Let's think of a man in our congregations. He knows that the Lord's Supper is coming. And he has spent time then in in preparation for the Lord's Supper. He spent some time looking at his own heart. And what he has found as he's looked at his own heart, he's not pleased with. Remember that light of the gospel. It does some painful things. The light of the gospel shows us what we look like in the mirror of the law. And how many would say that's not a pretty picture? And so this man has been spending time in preparation for the Lord's Supper, examining his own heart. He's interrogated his own heart. He's seeking to examine his life now in light of the law and in light of the gospel. And what's happened in doing this is he's made fresh discoveries of sin. Sins that he didn't know he had before. And while he is investigating and interrogating his own heart, not only does he see new sins, but he's now reminded of his old ones. This is going on in his heart as he is preparing for the Lord's Supper. And his heart becomes very heavy. In Pompton Plains, we have a midweek service during communion season. And we have a service that is meant just to focus on another time of self-examination, of asking the Lord to open our hearts. And so let's say he attends the midweek service. And what he has heard there has also pricked him. And his conscience has become even more sensitive. And by this time, he's already wondering, with the Lord's Supper now 3 or 4 days away, how it is ever possible that he will be able to find his way to the table. And he begins to think in his own mind and heart, no man has sinned like I have. No one has sinned against light, against love, against knowledge, against grace, like I have. And of all of the sheep in the flock of God, I must be the counterfeit. I must be the false sheep. And he struggles. The week before the Lord's Supper seems to be a month in his own heart as he looks up against the table of the Lord. It's now the morning of the Lord's Supper, and he comes into church and he slips into his seat as quietly as he possibly can. He's come very anxiously into the presence of the Lord. He feels alone still. Even in a congregation like this, he feels so alone. And he wonders what this day is going to bring. And then the minister begins to preach the gospel, especially pertaining to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially dealing with the sin of his people. And the word of God, as it is preached, it begins to stir his heart. It begins to touch him. He begins to hear of the great willingness of the Lord anew and afresh to forgive him, to accept him in the beloved. He hears that the blood of Christ cleanseth from all sin. He begins to think what he has not thought all week, that perhaps this is the Lord now drawing him again afresh to himself. He feels the Holy Spirit's moving And the Lord now in the preaching, it seems, is calling out His name. The love of Christ fills His heart. The forgiveness of Christ is brought afresh to His mind. The long suffering of Christ has become so precious to Him again. How patient the Lord is with sinners. And then the table call comes. And He rises as the table is opened, and He walks down to the front, and He takes His place at the Lord's Supper. And He says, "Hear, O precious Lord, once again Thou hast brought me. Isolated me, lonely me." But as His eyes reach up to the minister, He sees that He's not alone. That He is seated among others in the congregation who have felt the same way. Others in the congregation who, through different struggles of their own, have felt this week as He has felt. You see, He was alone, but He wasn't alone. Here is the one and the many at work in walking in the light. Alone, but together. Fellowship with each other at last. But more importantly, fellowship with the Father and the Son. The words, "we have fellowship one with another," congregation, constitute a wonderfully condescending expression. That God is in the light, and man is in the light. What a thing that is. There is nothing greater in all of the world than to have this fellowship. You see, this fellowship means that they're walking together. They're walking together in one element. In one light. And this change has taken place. And you see, what happens is this, is that when one begins to walk in the light as He is in the light, God and man become concerned about the same things. They have the same mind. They have the same heart. They have the same concern. What things, you ask? Well, God is truth. He loves His truth. And so does the child of God. You see, it doesn't become at this point now a point of debate so that we can say that we know more of the Word of God than others. It's not a point of contention, a point of argument, or a point of debate. The children of light who now walk in the same element with the Father, they will not tolerate error. And they're going to study the Word of God for no other reason that they might know the Father. They desire to think God's thoughts after Him. Doctrine. Yes, a doctrine becomes very important to Him. Why? So that He might know the one true God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. And in this fellowship, in the light, it has come to pass that the Lord and His enlightened ones see things the same way. In prayer and in praise, He's no longer the play actor. But he's engaged in his heart in these things. No longer doing what is expected just because it's expected. But it has entered his very core. There is true words spoken from the lips and the heart. And God hears those true words because they are His. And this fellowship then that we're speaking of here, this fellowship of the light also means they walk together in action. Walking, of course, is an action, as we said this morning. That God and His poor, feeble children are striving together for truth in righteousness. That is to say that they desire to walk in His ways. They desire to walk in His laws and to strive for that blameless act. Even though they know that they will never achieve the blameless thing on this side of the grave, but it becomes the desire of the child of God to walk in obedience to His Word. He's no longer looking for ways that he might pare off the sharp edges of the Word of God, to try to work around this commandment or to try to listen to other teachers when it comes to that commandment, the plain truth of the Word of God as it is revealed. It becomes his food. It becomes his drink. It becomes the desire as children of the light. The words of David, for instance, in Psalm 119, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto thy commandments." It becomes the heartbeat of the child of God. They want the truth. They hunger for the truth and they desire the righteousness in the way that they live in a way that pleases the Lord. But it goes further than this. This fellowship here of the light also means that they partake with God in the sympathy of His heart. What touches God touches them. What moves God moves them. When God the Father grieved over the prodigal, so the child of light grieves over poor sinners. Was there a great grief in Christ Himself when He wept over the city of Jerusalem? So this lives in the child of God when sinners will not repent. When heaven rejoices over one sinner that is saved, so the one that is walking in the light rejoices with the angels. When they hear of someone coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not only light, and it's not only truth, it's not only righteousness, but it's the feelings of faith. The fellowship is saying that God the Father and His children have the same desires, same motive. They pray in their heart, "Thy kingdom come and Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." You see, then our will has grown to be like God's will in conformity to Him. It is the fellowship of the light. You see, it's more than just words. It's more than just doctrine. It's two hearts that have been knit together. Do you know, dear one, by experience, what it is to be honestly dealing with eternal things? to truly come to understand that our life is so very, very short, and eternity at hand. And to stop, as it were, talking about these things and begin to experience these things. To take off the mask and in honesty and in sincerity no longer play the actor. No longer playing the counterfeit. But desiring and yes, experiencing these things yourself. This congregation, this is the fellowship one with another that John is describing. Well, secondly, this afternoon, what are the benefits enjoyed by walking in this light? But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Surely this is the most important part of these two verses. Of everything else that is mentioned in this passage, this must be the standing ground of the child of God who is walking in the light in fellowship with the Father. It's the standing ground of the person the imaginary person that we mentioned pertaining to the Lord's Supper. And the standing ground for every child of the light, this, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Are you a poor sinner hearing this today? You say in your heart, if there is any way to have fellowship with God, I want it. If I can be reconciled to God, that is what I desire above everything else in this world. But I look out, as it were, through the window of my own heart, or perhaps better, into the window of my own heart, and I see that sin is crouching at the door. That the great stone of sin seems to have shut me in. Then you, dear one, look at this text. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Here's the key. It's not by the righteousness of the works of the hand. It's not by the righteousness that we have done. It's not cleaning oneself up before there can ever be walking and fellowship. It's not about quitting this and quitting that and stopping this and stopping that, and maybe if I feel enough for my sin and I grieve enough for my sin that somehow I'm going to earn a place of fellowship with God. It all begins and ends at the cross. It is the blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. It is the basis and the foundation of the light and the fellowship with God the Father. If there's any fellowship at all, it is found in the word all. It's an unlocking, it's a precious, it's a beautiful word, all. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Everything here in this passage, in these two verses, everything here is building up to this point. All rests here. The blood of Christ has widely opened up the communion channel that leads to the Father. Justified by faith, by the righteousness that is in Jesus Christ. And oh, the sinfulness of sin, the power of sin, the blinding nature of sin. How the believer hates it. And those that are in the light know what this is. That every ray of light that shines down into their hearts, it does two things. Every ray of light, of gospel light that shines into them, it does these two things. It exposes more sin. And then it points afresh to the Savior. And as I said this morning, then there is this joy mixed with sorrow, this pain mixed with pleasure, this laughter through tears. Every ray of light makes you cry out, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And also makes them cry, I thank God through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And dear one, that very cry is the proof of fellowship. That is an unnatural cry. That is an unheard of cry. And dear one, if you have never made that cry in your heart to the Lord, you are still in darkness till now. You see, there is this common will now, common desire, common focus with the child of God and in the Father. And listen, in the child of God, it's not a complete thing, but it's an ever-growing thing. It's not what it ought to be, but it certainly is stronger than it was before. Because before it didn't exist, before the heart could care less about these things. But now there is a common element that you and God together abhor sin. And dear one, this afternoon, if you hate sin, it is because God hated sin first, and you have become one of His sin-hating children. This does not come to one who is walking in darkness. Those who hate the light do not feel this. No, this comes to you by walking in the light as He is in the light, in truth, in righteousness, in communion, in fellowship, with one growing united heart. And yes, dear one, our horror for sin drives us into fellowship with the Father who also hates sin. Even that very sin that made Him hide His face from His beloved Son on that cursed tree. So the sin is exposed because of the light. What else does this fellowship in the light show? It shows the blood of Christ the blood of Christ is the only answer. And the sight of sin makes the heart cry out, oh, to be rid of that sin, to be freed from its clutches. And you truly sing from your heart, wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, oh, cleanse me from my sin. That thing, dear one, is thinking God's thoughts after Him. He knows how impossible it is to remove sin's stain. The child of God knows how impossible it is to remove the stain of his own heart. I know that all of the water in Lake Ontario could not cleanse me of my sin. Yours too? You see, the child of God knows that. And for this, God must deliver up His own Son to death to wipe out the stain. The sacrifice of the only begotten is the singular hope of sinners. The laying of our sin upon Him who became the great sin bearer of His people. This congregation Christ did. The glorious Son of God agreed to become the atonement for sin. And that is where the sin of my heart belongs now. It belongs upon Christ, who was the scapegoat of His people. And I see that I can have it no other way. And that there He died. There He died, the just for the unjust. That He was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That congregation is what all of this is for. That the blood of Christ cleanseth from all sin. You know, in our day we speak of Christ, even within Christian circles, we speak of Him for social justice and philanthropy and building wells and building schools and building hospitals and buying books and feeding the poor. We speak of His law as a guide. We speak of Him being the great equalizer of all races, of all people, of society. We praise Jesus as the masterpiece of divine wisdom and power and truth. But all of these things, congregation, all of these things are next to meaningless if the blood of Christ has not cleansed from all sin. This is the pericope of the gospel. This is the axiom. This is the fulcrum, the blood of Christ. And today, even in many Christian circles, it's no longer preached. It's just assumed. You've sat in the pew long enough. You've soaked and marinated in the covenant community long enough. You are assumed to be a child of the light walking in the light. And that assumption, dear ones, has been the death knell for every denomination who's walked down that path. This has to remain central. For you, and for me, and
for our children, for our grandchildren. Should the Lord tarry for generations to come, the blood of Christ, the blood of Christ, the blood of Christ cleanseth from all sin. It's only there that we've entered into fellowship. It's only there that we've entered into communion. It's only there that we enter into the path of light and truth. Christ's blood becoming the divine satisfaction of the Father for me, for my heart. And in that blood we have the benefit of the fellowship. Benefit of the fellowship with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the benefit of the true communion of the saints, the things that really, truly matter. Look at verse 4 again. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. That is the only way, congregation, you'll ever have peace in this life. Young people, it's the only way you will ever have peace and true joy. I know you want it. I know you're desiring it. I know you're seeking for it. But believe me, you will never find joy in this world, no matter how much you get, and how successful you become, and how much love you experience, and all of the awards and success and dreams that you desire to attain, all of those things will never bring you the joy that fulfills. John is saying, this I write unto you, that your joy may be full. A joy-filled heart is only found in the fellowship of the blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin. And dear one, dear young person, was it not in God's heart that you are here today? And every day that you sit under the gospel in this place, have you ever entered into this text? Or another one of John's, where he says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should become the children of God. And creation and the fall and the incarnation and the cross and the new birth and all of the history of this world is all centered on this, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. What do you know of true fellowship? That the blood-washed are to be friends with God, to speak to Him face to face, by heart to heart. Here is the light that has been preached since the time of Adam and Eve to this very day, on the 14th of February, 2015. With these He will dwell, and He will be their God, and they shall be His people. With these. God has achieved His purpose in blood-washed souls, walking in the light of God, in harmony with their Master. And these will say with the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, glorify thy Son. And oh, that your heart were brought into the light of God today. That you would quit the dark ways of self-righteousness, and especially of self-deception and carelessness and thoughtlessness and sin, and come to the light of the truth. And oh, that the light may come to you as it came to Saul on the road to Damascus, and you would cry, Who art thou, Lord? And that he would show himself to you, Jesus Christ, in his all sufficiency, even for you. For you. May the Spirit of God bring you to know God and His Son Jesus Christ, whom to know is both light and life forevermore. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious and good-doing God, oh, we thank Thee for the blessed revelation of Jesus Christ, and that the blood of Christ cleanseth from all sin. And Lord, that we each here this afternoon might know this, that it may not be just words, but something that we have experienced ourselves. And that we would cry, Father, glorify Thy Son in us, in our hearts, in my heart, in the heart of this Thy people, in our families, that Thou would continue to do Thy saving work. O Lord, that we would not desire anything apart from this, that all things flow to it and from it. And so we ask that Thou would apply these words to our hearts. And may all glory belong to the Triune God. This we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.